What we just did, we have, it's what we're studying about in this section of our lessons on blessed assurances. Our blessed assurances is, as God's children, as His faithful, righteous child, that God hears my prayer and that He answers my prayer. And we have been promised that. The Holy Spirit promises Jesus is an example of it and teaches that the apostles, he taught the apostles to pray, and the apostles wrote that we should pray always without ceasing. It was an important part of Christ's life, of the life of the prophets and the Old Testament faithful. We see them talking to God and building altars, you know, calling on His name, those kinds of things. And so as we study this section on prayer, today we have already looked at that we ought to pray, and that we ought to pray at all times, and that we ought not to lose heart, you know. And so prayer is to help us not to lose heart in the times of struggle. And also in the times when others, you know, need our prayers, and so that we can help them not to lose heart as we pray for one another. Okay, and so we saw that, though, there was a case that Jesus told about the publican and the Pharisee, and who went down justified to his house was the one with the humble heart before God, not self-righteous and not proud, but one who was humble before God, looking to God for his salvation and his forgiveness, and knowing, you know, and contrite of heart. And so that's what Jesus is teaching, that we should have a contrite heart, a humble heart before God, and not to, as we boldly go before the throne of God, but not as self-righteous and look at me, God, how good I am, and this is what I want you to do for me. Okay, that kind of attitude. So today, we are looking at Jesus again. We briefly looked at Jesus in some situations that he was in. As Pat put it, he was popular. The crowds were pressing. They were ever needing, and he needed to slip off and pray. And also, the devil is ever ready to pounce on us when things are going great, when we are in good graces of everybody, to think just how wonderful we are. And that, you know, one of the ways that the devil did tempt Jesus was, you fall down and worship me and I'll give you all these kingdoms, you know. And so actually they wanted to make him king at one time because of the popularity of Jesus. And so, you know, Jesus being flesh could have been tempted to, you know, why go to the cross? Why suffer this, you know? And lose sight of the very reason that he came to earth to have the adoration that he was having at this time. I mean, they were thronging to him. And, of course, many of them just wanted to be healed by him because the power was going from him, as we read in Mark. And so we see, you know, that there's throngs of multitudes. And in other times, he's, as Pat put in her view, unpopular. But what's happening is people are scrutinizing, people are trying to find fault with him, they're just trying to find a way to accuse him. And so, you know, we have times in our lives such, and we need to be careful that we're not tempted to lose heart and not to strike back. You know, we read in 1 Peter how Christ handled that. And then We looked at the very end of Luke 6 as we finished up last week. In verse 13, it talked about he went to do his disciples. Now, this is just right after he had prayed all night, and he's going to select his disciples. And verse 13 of Luke 6 is about that. So, you know, here is God, okay? And here is the creator of the universe, the great I Am. And he is spending all night in prayer to the Father. Not that he doesn't know the hearts of men. Not that he doesn't know everything. But he's praying. And he's fixing to choose his 12. And he prays all night. And so, you know, that should give us encouragement and an example of when we are facing decisions, whether on jobs or whether some discernment on an activity or moving to a certain locality or anything that it comes up, a great decision that we need to make. Do we spend time in fervent prayer? You know, and as we said, Jesus spent all night right before this in prayer. And so, any questions on that section before we began Matthew 26? Any thoughts? Okay, Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Sharon, would you read that if you have it, please? Matthew 26, 36 through 46.
Then came Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came unto the disciples, and finding them asleep, said unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then came he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that does betray me.
Okay. I'm going to divide up the Matthew and the Luke 22 so that we can just keep our Bibles turned here to go down through the verses and everything. What are the words here in Matthew's reading? Did you find that describe Jesus' emotions as he enters into this prayer? Now, of course, we realize that this is he's facing suffering and death. This is right before his arrest. And he's in the garden with the disciples, okay? And so this is what he's facing. And yes, Jesus is God, but he is also flesh. And he is here, and he is going to suffer, you know, as a man would suffer the things. And so so what did you find? List all the words that describe Jesus' emotions, attitudes, and action as he's in this going to pray in here. What do you
grieved and distressed?
Grieved and distressed. The Revised Standard Version said sorrowful and troubled, and then even to death. The King James Version says exceedingly sorrowful and very heavy. The New King James said sorrowful and deeply distressed. And the NIV in verse 37 said, overwhelmed with sorrow. Sometimes we don't vision our Master and King and Creator as being in this kind of state. You know, and so if we see the Christ being sorrowful and grieved and distressed, and he's here praying, and he's turning to the Father in prayer, does that not encourage us and help us to realize that, you know, the Father knows, the Father will listen, that we can go to the Father in prayer, you know, and not be afraid that we are You know, sometimes we don't want to show others, or we're sort of ashamed that we're so distraught. You know, sometimes we get distraught or we get very sorrowful. And but we see the Lord Himself being very distressed, very sorrowful. And what does He do? He goes to pray to the Father. Any other emotion there that you see that describes Jesus' state?
Submissive and trusting God.
Yes. Verse 39 says he fell on his face, totally humbled. Now that can be an attitude, you know, too. Okay. But he says he was, he fell on his face before the Father, totally humbling himself before God because of what he knows what he's facing, but he's asking the Lord's help, the Father's help.
Well, he also says twice, not as I will, that your will be done.
Absolutely. That's his attitude, isn't it, towards the Father?
He's trusting. He's trusting